As we continue with our study of the Gospel of John, I'm appreciative this week for being able to look a little bit more slowly than normal at the text concerning the resurrection. It's usually common to examine the whole resurrection story at Easter, but because of God's providential timing, we did not do that. We were able to look at it in more manageable pieces because we are currently studying the Gospel of John, and so I appreciate that this week. In chapter 20, verses 1 through 10, from last week, we found Mary Magdalene and another Mary at the tomb of Jesus. They'd gone to the tomb early that morning, even when it was still dark, to anoint Jesus' body with more ceremonial spices before final burial. But they did not find what was expected there. Instead, the great stone which sealed the tomb was rolled back, and it was immediately assumed that someone had stolen Jesus' body, and that was simply another desecration to the one that they loved so much. So Mary Magdalene runs back the way she came, and she encounters Peter and John, and she tells them of this rolled back stone, and they run on ahead, they investigate, they find the empty tomb, and they head back to tell the other disciples. And poor Mary, she returns one last time to the tomb. She's confused and dejected. She's not even able at this point to fulfill that final customary duty of care for the body of Jesus that she wanted to perform. And that's where our text picks up today in John chapter 20 with verse 11. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb, and as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he had said these things to her. Thus far, God's word. So Mary bends over, she looks into the chamber of the tomb, and she expects to see emptiness there, a cold stone slab where there should have been a body. Instead, she gets a surprise. The text tells us that there sits two angels clothed in white, one at the head of the slab, one at the foot. And they ask Mary why she is crying. It's telling that she is able to talk and respond at this point. If you think about that, these are angels. It's quite telling that she's able to talk coherently and respond to them. The Luke 24 account tells us of two men in dazzling white. White, of course, is that symbol of holiness, of purity. But Mary doesn't seem to be overwhelmed by the angels at this point. That's a little confusing if you think about it. And we will think about it a little more in a moment. She's able to communicate with them, though, and she tells them her fears that the body of Jesus has been stolen away, taken away in the night. And at that very moment, she detects another presence, and she turns, and there stands a man. She assumes it's the gardener coming over to see what all the commotion is about. And I'll stop and ask a question here at this point. Have you ever been somewhere, perhaps a store or another facility, and been mistaken for an employee there by another shop or another client? Like maybe, for instance, you were working out at the gym and someone mistook you for a bodybuilding instructor. How about that? Or fine clothing store, and you were incorrectly identified as a swankishly dressed fashion consultant. Perhaps that's happened to some of you ladies. Well, that's happened to me before, except it was in Walmart. And there I was browsing among the shelves, and a lady walked up to me and said, "Excuse me, could you tell me where you keep the crock pots?" And I wasn't wearing a Walmart vest or a name tag or anything like that. I'm not sure what she saw in me that made her think that I worked there. But she did seem surprised and even a little disappointed that I did not. It was, though, clearly a case of mistaken identity on her part. That's going on in this scene. Only it's Jesus that Mary Magdalene is mistaking. She doesn't recognize him. She thinks he's the gardener. He asks her questions, and they're similar to the questions that the angel has asked. "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Now, we might not give much thought to those questions. Why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? Because we know the answers already. We know why she was weeping and who she was seeking. But for that matter, so did the angels and so did Jesus. It wasn't necessary for them to ask her these questions. But it is important, I think, once again, for us to understand the level of love that Jesus has for us. Here, although he knows the answers and he knows that he is going to comfort her, he's still concerned. He's still concerned for her in that moment of pain and grief. He does not jump ahead to the moment of joy. He meets her where she is in that moment of pain and grief. That is our Savior, then and now. He is not jumping ahead to you to the day when everything is all right. He is there with you in your moment of pain and grief, just like he was for Mary. We could ask, though, why she fails to understand and recognize the angels for who they are, and fails here especially to recognize Jesus at all. That's been speculated about, by the way. We wouldn't be the first people to ask those questions. Why didn't she recognize? Luke 24:16 speaks about the men who were walking on the road to Emmaus when they encountered Jesus. And there it says that their eyes were kept from recognizing him. That denotes a divine activity upon them that kept them for a moment from recognizing Jesus. Perhaps that's the case with Mary. Perhaps she is being kept from recognition for a moment. Or perhaps Jesus' resurrection body was so drastically different from his previously earthly body that Mary's confused, just doesn't recognize him at all. Perhaps she couldn't see well. I'm increasingly identifying with that one. If you don't have corrective lenses, for those of you who can't see at a distance, faces are just a blur, and back then there were no such thing as corrective lenses, so perhaps she just couldn't see well. But there's another possibility as well. And I'll frame it like this. We recently went down for a short visit overnight to my aunt and uncle's house. We've been praying for him, Uncle Gene. He's got cancer down in Jacksonville. And we were on the way back out on I-95, and we stopped at a gas station. I don't even remember where it was. I think it was near Savannah somewhere. And as I was walking in the gas station, I heard a woman talking nearby, and the voice was very unique and familiar. But the thought that went through my mind in that moment was, no, that cannot possibly be her. But it was. It was her. It was a close friend from Delaware, far away, who's actually visited here with her husband before and worshiped with us, who was traveling from Florida right at the same moment that we were, and who stopped at the same gas station at the same time we did. It was the last thing that I was expecting. The last thing that I was expecting, the last person I expected to see at a random gas station at a random time out of state. You see, Mary only expected, at the very best at this point, to see the dead body of Jesus once again, to find it. It was missing. She only had a hope of finding that, of relocating that dead corpse. And so encountering the living Jesus was too much for her brain to even comprehend. It was beyond her expectation. Do you see what I'm saying? She was not in the frame of mind to even expect it. Forget my little example. And you older folks know how unlikely it is to bump into a close friend somewhere far out of state. It just doesn't happen more than once or twice in a lifetime. This is bigger than that. This was so unexpected, so unlikely for her that her brain couldn't even consider that as a possibility. Her greatest hope is that the gardener may tell her where Jesus' body is. She's asking for help from him, and he certainly can help her, can he? He can do a lot more than take her to the body. At that moment, the man she believes to be the gardener calls her by name, Mary. And everything changes. For her eyes are opened, and she recognizes him for who he really is, and that is her beloved Jesus, not dead, but very, very much alive. In the space of just a moment, she has gone from hopeless and forlorn to joyful and full of wonder. We recently acquired a puppy named Poppy. I recognize the irony in that. A sweet little puppy. I hope you all get to meet her one of these days. When we have been gone for a while during the day for several hours and we come into the house, Poppy runs to us and she gyrates and wiggles and jumps on us and licks us and wags like we're the best thing she has ever seen. You dog owners know that feeling. Like you are the cream of the crop. And so excited. And that's what Mary was like here. That's what Mary was like. She pounces on Jesus. She's clinging to him as if she had never had any hope of seeing him again, which she didn't. And now she's united. It's the most joyful thing to consider that moment when Mary recognizes her Savior. But Jesus says, hold on, Mary. Hold on. Restrain yourself. Don't cling to me. He's not the gardener, but neither is he the same Jesus that walked just a few days before. He's not the same Jesus she was accustomed to. There's a different level to things now. He had not simply recovered his previous life and health. He wasn't simply healed. He was resurrected. He was changed. And he was on a mission. He says, do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Mary was not to cling to him as if he was a mortal man recovered from sickness or maybe recently returned from the war and But she was to focus. She was to focus clearly on what the task at hand was and to be about the business he had for her, which was informing the disciples of his resurrection. Go tell it on the mountain. Go spread the word. Jesus had unfinished business for them, you see. And his business would prompt them to go out into the world and share this good news of the resurrection of Jesus with people everywhere. And it continues even today. It is why we are here today. There was unfinished business, and Mary was to be about that business. And as we think on these things, the reality is that Jesus' resurrection should be no less surprising for us than it was for Mary, even though she was there and we weren't. Because remember, this, it just flies in the face of reason. Cold tomb, stone rolled away, body disappeared, folded grave clothes, angel, Jesus appearing. These things aren't supposed to happen in real life, only in fairy tales. But this is not a fairy tale. It's not a fairy tale. It's the truth. It's the truth that has been witnessed by many and documented. It's a truth that is impressed upon our hearts. It is Mary's story, but it is our story too. We read of Mary and John and Peter and the other women visiting the tomb, but we must each come face to face with the reality in our hearts. It is not a tale. It is the story of the world, and we must deal with it individually. Was he just an ordinary man who died and someone stole his body away? That's what the chief priest in Matthew 28 wanted people to believe. That is the story that they made up when the guards came and said, he's gone. And this is what we've seen. That's what they wanted people to believe. And the tale goes on to this day, that he was just a man and his body was stolen. That's damage control by the chief priest. Or is Jesus who he says he is? Is he the one who overpowered death? It's the question on which our lives hinge. I don't know if you caught what Jesus said in verse 17, so I'm going to read it to you once again. I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. I think he's indicating for us two primary messages in that. I believe he's pointing to a God who creates, who sustains, and who loves a sinful people. He's both our Father and our God. And I believe that Jesus' ascension is the promise of him then being in direct position to advocate for us to that God and Father, to advocate personally for us on our behalf. He is there by the throne of God in great part for our benefit. In great part, that's why he's there for us. Jesus carried our sin to the cross. He made that great sacrifice on our behalf. In essence, he ended the power of sin in our lives of those who trust in him. It was a tremendous finish on his part in that regard. It was a victory, the victory, although it didn't look like it at the time. But through the resurrection, through this great conquering of death that Jesus did, came the greatest moment of hope in our history, the best fresh start that any of us can ever have. Mary Magdalene experienced that fresh start on that day. And I would ask, have you? Have you experienced the fresh start that comes from knowing Jesus? Have you seen Him for who He really is? He's not a gardener. He's the Savior. Have you asked for forgiveness of your sin, recognizing that you do have it, that you are in it, and that you do need saving? And have you placed your weak and unsteady faith in a sure and certain Savior? Because when you do, you will receive His resurrection, for His resurrection is ours. The story of the tomb is the best story. It's full of surprises. It's full of miracles and intrigue. But I don't want you to think it's an old or ancient or outdated story, because it's as if it happened this very morning. Jesus is alive and well and working for salvation even in this day. So may you recognize Him truly as He is, and what He's done, and what He offers you. Amen.